día. Muchas gracias por participar en esta sesión. Estamos en CONACYT México, el Consejo Nacional de Ciencia y Tecnología, desde donde estamos transmitiendo esta sesión. Estamos en el área de cooperación internacional y con nosotros nos acompañan algunos puntos nacionales de contacto. Está Ingrid Leván, es encargada del programa Euraccess Latinoamérica, quien nos explicará durante 45 minutos todas las bondades y beneficios de esta herramienta. Está Anaís Linares Rojas, el punto nacional de contacto para el programa del European Research Council. Leslie González, para el punto nacional de contacto de las acciones Marie Skłodowska-Curie Actions. Marilena Navarro, muchas gracias, subdirectora de programas institucionales de la Coordinación de Estudios de Posgrado de la UNAM. Marco Corona, jefe de la unidad de planeación de la Coordinación de Estudios de Posgrados de la UNAM. Y están en línea también conectados y con posibilidad de interactuar desde el Instituto Nacional de Electricidad y Energías Limpias. Muchas gracias a Nora Pérez y al ingeniero Fernando Kors, puntos nacionales de contacto para el área de energía. Desde el Instituto Nacional de Ciencias Médicas y Nutrición, Salvador Subirán, en nombre del doctor Carlos Aguilar Salinas, investigador, para el punto nacional de contacto para el área de salud. Y desde la Agencia Espacial Mexicana está la doctora Giselle Galván, directora de investigación científica. Muchas gracias y naturalmente a todos los que estén participando desde otras instituciones, desde la UNAM, Sinvestav, e incluso más allá de nuestras fronteras, probablemente nuestros otros puntos de contacto en la región estarán viéndonos. Brevemente les comento el CONACYT como parte de su estrategia de cooperación internacional en el ámbito de la investigación y la innovación. Tienen asociaciones con diferentes países estratégicos y regiones en el mundo con los cuales desarrolla e implementa acciones de cooperación internacional de manera conjunta. Este es el caso de nuestra relación bilateral entre México y la Unión Europea y que a través de su brazo ejecutor, que es la Comisión Europea, desarrollamos para los temas de ciencia, tecnología e innovación diferentes actividades, gran parte de ellas enmarcadas en valga la redundancia, a través del programa de la Unión Europea de Investigación e Innovación, el programa Horizonte 2020, en su novena edición. El CONACYT se apoya para difundir estas acciones y oportunidades en los puntos nacionales de contacto, que son instituciones designadas para la función precisamente de difundir y apoyar esta cooperación con la Unión Europea y cada una de las instituciones designa una persona que está investida con esta figura de punto nacional de contacto. Para la red mexicana tenemos 11 puntos nacionales de contacto en diferentes áreas, como ya mencioné, está la sección de Marie Curie, el programa ERC, que son programas de movilidad y otras muchas áreas temáticas. Muchos saludos a nuestros sensibles, donde quiera que estén. Gracias por el invaluable apoyo que siempre hemos recibido de ellos. Y bien, entre los subprogramas de Horizonte 20 están, como ya decía, los de movilidad y muchos otros, cuya información a veces no es muy fácil de encontrar o la forma de participación se complica, etcétera. Y para eso la Comisión Europea ha generado algunas iniciativas e instrumentos como lo es Euraccess, a través del cual los investigadores tienen acceso no solo a la información, sino también a las oportunidades activas que están en ese momento disponibles. Y además, Euraccess brinda otros mecanismos de apoyo, incluso cuando se está fuera. Para la comunidad científica mexicana será de gran interés conocer más de esta herramienta. Ingrid, welcome. She is coming from Brazil. She is based in Brazil and kindly has accepted this invitation to talk to us and discuss further about the Euraccess.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Moira. Buenos días, días para todos. Mi nombre es Ingrid, represento la Euraxes, un proyecto de la Comisión Europea. Y aquí se acabó mi portuñol, con acento francés. Entonces, so I'm going to speak in English. Please let me know if I speak too fast or if there's something you don't understand. I understand Spanish, but my spoken Spanish, as you can see, is not so good. So I'm going to carry on in English. And first of all, I'd like to say a special thanks to CONACYT for inviting me to present today, and especially to Moira and Arturo. Thank you very much. Great pleasure to be here today. And as Moira was saying, Euraxes is a project from the European Commission to help Mexican or any Latin American researchers to come to Europe and for European researchers to come to Mexico in both directions. So we're a support service for researchers. And we're entirely free of charge. We're entirely funded by the European Commission. And basically, I'm here to help. I don't know who's ever heard of Euraxes. Anyone? No? No. Okay, good. Good that I'm here then. So let me move on to the presentation now.
Okay.
So yes, the main objective of my presentation today is to tell you a little bit more about Europe and its research landscape, but also to tell you about some of the opportunities that Europe has to offer Mexican researchers. So here's basically the outline of the presentation. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Euraxes, the project, the European Commission. Then I'm going to move on to Horizon 2020 and what it has to offer the Latin American and Caribbean region. Then I'm going to move on to the Marie Sklodowska-Curie Actions, which is a specific program within Horizon 2020. And finally, I'm going to introduce you a few aspects of the European Research Council, which is also a Horizon 2020 program. And any questions and answers which you have at the end or even during the presentation, please feel free to ask me. So first of all, just a brief recap on the European Union. As you probably already know, the European Union is a bloc of 28 countries. It's 500 million people, which is quite a small percentage of the world population. It's only 7%. However, we have 32 of the top 100 universities worldwide. So we're quite a concentrated research region. And we have what we call the single market, which is a zone of free circulation between people, goods, services, and capital. Now, yes, it's a relatively small region, but it has a lot of diverse cultures, languages, gastronomies, and all that is united in one block, which is basically European Union with its single market. Now, in terms of research, we are, I know that realistically, you know, everyone knows that things are not always peachy and rosy. Of course, we have all these different cultures and backgrounds, so we're not always as united as we would wish to be, but when we are actually the world's leading economic power, and we also are the second largest investor in research and development, making up for 24% of the world's R&D investments. In terms of world's publications, we make up 32%, so a third, and the same thing for the patent requests. We make up 32% of those. And one out of three people in the European Union works in the science and technology sector. So we're quite an active part of the world in terms of science. Now, I was telling you about the single market of the European Union, and we have something that's the equivalent in terms of research, which is called the European Research Area. So it's kind of the single market for researchers. And the aim of this research area is basically, in simple words, that if we're all together, united, we're more competitive, we can share data, knowledge, infrastructures, international networks better. So part of this European Union in terms of research area is facilitating movement. So I will tell you this in the next slide. And also we have a lot of programs which are applicable to the whole of the European region. And the main program is Horizon 2020, which basically means that whoever participates in this program can freely move around all of Europe. So less bureaucracy, hopefully. Now, one of the examples that has recently happened was that, I don't know if some of you are aware, but in 2013, we implemented the Scientific Visa Directive, which was basically starting to help non-EU researchers to come to Europe. And we were making some of the rules easier for them. So in terms of coming with their family members, or having the same status as European researchers, the first steps were laid a few years ago. And in May 2018, we went one step further in terms of, for instance, granting a visa to researchers. So now there's an obligation of the member states of the European Union to give you an answer within 30 to 60 days. And actually, I think that for non-EU researchers, it's actually 30 days. So if you apply for a visa, a research visa to the EU, we have to give you an answer in 30 days. You don't have to wait around forever. The other thing is, once you finished your fellowship or your doctoral program, you can stay another year in the EU. So this leaves you time to pursue other projects if you want. If you want to start a business startup, for instance, or if you just simply want to hang around for another year to start another project, you can do so. And in terms of moving around the European Union, it's also becoming easier for you and your family, at least if you move around for less than 3 months. So if you go, let's say, from Germany to France, and you want to spend 3 months in France, but you're based in Germany, you can do that without having to apply for another visa. Not all the European Union countries have this rule, but they have equivalent rules. So for instance, the UK have a slightly different rule, but it's the equivalent, basically. I'm not going to confuse you too much about this, but just you need to remember that things are getting better and easier in terms of bureaucracy. Now, talking specifically about the Euraxis project, so it's a project, as I was saying, that was launched by the European Commission in 2003. So it's been around for 15 years. And the main objective is to help you, to provide you support, to move around with less bureaucracy, and to basically favor what we call brain circulation from Latin America to Europe, but also from Europe to Latin America. And we aim to provide you any kind of support services, academic, but also practical services, to make your life easier, to hopefully make Europe a more attractive destination. And the good news is that all the services are free of charge. So please use us as much as possible, spread our mailing list in your networks, because you have nothing to lose. Now, when I'm talking about the European Union, I should also mention that on top of the 28 member states, the European research area is also composed of what we call associated countries. There are 16 of them. And these are countries that are not officially part of the Union, but there are a lot of bilateral agreements in terms of science and research, which also make these countries part of the program. So we have member states like Switzerland, Norway, Turkey. We have a lot of countries listed here. Euraxis centers are everywhere in the world, actually, not just in Latin America. So of course, the main hub is going to be in Europe. So we have about 550 service centers in Europe. And basically, we will have one in each member country, but also sub-service centers within universities. So the main universities, whether you go to France, Germany, Italy, etc., will also have a Euraxis contact person that you can ask questions. And outside of Europe, you have people like myself. I'm based in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro. And we have contacts as well in North America, in India, in China, Bangkok, Japan. We recently opened an office in South Korea. So we have about 8 offices outside of Europe with the aim of linking the researchers outside of Europe to Europe. Now, why do I speak Portuñol? Because I'm based in Brazil. And this is where 5 years ago, the Latin American office of Euraxis started. So we aim to promote exchanges, mobility, and cooperation with the Latin American region, of course, including Mexico and the Caribbean as well. And once again, help researchers through events, information, community events, networking events, and loads of free services. Now, talking specifically of the type of services we offer, we try and promote as many funding and jobs opportunities as possible to Mexican researchers. We also have a partnering tool. If you're looking for an institution in Europe to write a proposal with, we have a tool to help you with that. And of course, we provide you any kind of information and assistance on any queries you may have when you're before you leave, once you're in Europe, and when you leave Europe. So our target group are, of course, researchers, but we have universities and research organizations, research labs, but we also have the industrial dimension. So businesses, entrepreneurs are also part of our platform. And I will tell you a little bit more about how it works. So first of all, we have a matching tool. This is your first gateway to Europe point of contact or website, which is here. It's jobs@euraxis.org. And basically, it works like a job or fellowship finding tool. So you can look for jobs by research field, by country, by level of research, whether you're a PhD or a postdoc, et cetera. And you can also just do a filter by European Commission programs. So once again, please use the system. It's free of charge. You can upload your CV and create a profile. And by doing that, you will be able to research all the positions on our database. And people across the world will also find you. If they're looking for a specific researcher with your profile, you will come up in their search. So it's a matching tool. Businesses, universities, and researchers across the world. We're also linked to other job portals like Nature Jobs, Academic Positions, Academic Transfer, and many more. And these are automatic feeds onto our platform. So many, many opportunities. And if you don't find something straight away, please renew your search next week, next month, because it's a job portal that's live, so new vacancies happen all the time. Now, I was telling you about partnering up. This is our partnering tool. On the top toolbar, you will see an option saying partnering. If you click on that, and then you look at the bottom on the yellow boxes, if you're a researcher and you're looking for a university in Europe to partner up to write a proposal, you will click on find organizations, and then it will filter your search by area of research, country, etc. And it will bring up a list of all the contacts that are open to partnering with you. If you're a university or a research lab and you're looking for specific members, then of course you go to find members and you do a similar search. In terms of the non-academic remit, we also help with practical questions, which we think are very important because, of course, researchers are human beings like all of us. So you will have questions about how to find a flat, how to find a school for your children, how the visa works, etc. So we help you with day-to-day practical issues as well. And please ask us, you know, if you're moving to Germany and you don't know, you're looking for a German language course, we can help you with that. We can help you with healthcare, pension questions, etc. You can also find a whole Bible of information on the information and assistance section of the website. And if you click on the little globe on the top right-hand side, you will see all the national Euraxis portals across Europe. So all you need to do is click on the country you want to go to, and it will bring up all the contact points, phone numbers, email addresses of the Euraxis people helping you. This is what, for instance, the Germany portal looks like. And so basically you will have all the addresses of my colleagues. If for any reason you don't manage to get a reply or the email address doesn't work, please get back to me. I will give you my details at the end of the presentation, but please let me know. Now, going more specifically in the type of publications we do, well, first of all, I should say we also have a Facebook page, which is called Euraxis Slack. It's mainly in Spanish, but also a little bit in English. And we post, as you know, Facebook is a very quick way of posting information. So if we get contacted by a university in Europe to promote a fellowship open to Mexicans, we will straight away put it on there and you will receive the deadline, the link on how to apply. And any kind of useful events on, if there's a webinar on, you know, how to apply for European funding programs in Spanish, any kind of information, we'll post it on Facebook very quickly, but also on our website. We do presentations like what I'm doing today. And so please feel free to invite me. I'd be more than happy to come and visit you and spread the network even further. In terms of the news that we put on our website, this is the Euraxis Latin America website. This is what it looks like. So you will see, basically, we put any kind of, once again, relevant information to you. So at the moment, we have an open call from a European program called My Sklodowska Reactions. We've posted it there with a summary of what you need to know to apply. We also put some useful news about, as I've said, you know, webinars, or like we recently had three Europeans winning the Fields Medal. So this kind of news we will post on there. And we also provide a list of funding opportunities every 2 months. So we do a huge sort of research of all the fellowships, any kind of jobs open to Latin Americans specifically. We do a summary of everything we find and we put it on this list. And this is what it looks like. You have first the title, which includes the country where the fellowship is. Then we put the name of the program with the link. So if you click on the link, you get straight to the application page. Then we put a brief summary of what it's about, the research fields, how long the program is, the deadline, if it's for PhDs or postdocs, etc. So once again, if you register to our mailing list, you will receive this list every 2 months. And please feel free to spread it. If you register, you will also receive from us every two weeks, you will receive an email with some selected news. So once again, if there's a new call open or any kind of specific news related to your country, we will put it in this email. This is what it looks like. And maybe this applies specifically to the NCPs. If you're going to events that are related to Europe or European cooperation, I strongly encourage you to include a slide on Euraxis. And I'm more than happy to provide you with that slide. And if you need our logo or the links to our website, once again, please feel free to use it as much as possible. And I will probably ask you further along the line of this presentation if you have any more ideas of cooperation, whether it's, since you're based in the region, of course you have a lot more knowledge than this than me, there any important conferences or meetings that you think...
Maybe workshops.
Yes, also anything which I should participate to, then we can discuss this maybe, and please feel free to tell me. Or any other tips you have on how to spread this network, you know, whether it's other platforms or I don't know. So start thinking about it. Here's our mailing list. So please, you know, spread it through your networks. And this is basically at this point, I will stop talking about Euraxis and I will move on to more European Commission-based programs. Do you have any questions at this point? Is my level of talking okay? Yeah? Okay. So first of all, Horizon 2020, anyone familiar with it or has vaguely heard about it?
Yeah, no.
No and yes? Well, good. Makes me feel better that I'm here today. So first of all, Horizon 2020 is probably the EU's largest research and innovation program ever. It's got a capacity of 8 billion euros. Some say that it's actually the world's largest research program. And it covers absolutely every type of fields. So it's not just hard science, it's really everything. It could be humanities, it could be, you know, literature, anything. From frontier science to close to market innovation. So we have all the aspects of the spectrum from A to Z involved. Mexico is not always automatically eligible for some of the funding, but you can still participate as a partner. I will explain this in more detail in a minute. At the moment, we have about 59 participations from Mexico, which hopefully will increase in the future. And 24 of them are from a sub-program of Horizon 2020 called Marie Sklodowska-Curie Actions. So this is what the summary of the Horizon 2020 looks like. It's a bit complex, so don't worry if you get confused. You know, I will send you loads of information, links for you to read more information about this after the presentation. But what you need to remember at the moment is that the Horizon is split in three pillars. They're listed here. Hopefully you can see it. It's not too small. So we have the Excellent Science pillar, which includes the Marie Sklodowska-Curie Actions and the European Research Council grants, which I will mention later on. And you have a lot of other thematical calls, industrial leadership, societal challenges. So really, there is something for everyone. In terms of Mexican participation, starting with the basics, you need to be an individual researcher or an organization, a university, which is accredited by Mexican law. And if you participate in a consortium of Horizon 2020, of course, you need to make sure you have the financial capacity to fulfill the tasks set out in the proposal. We have specific calls within Horizon 2020 which actively seek participation from non-European countries. So please take a look. Here's, you can't really see it very well, but I'm just giving you a snapshot of what it looks like. And in this red link here, you will have access to this, to the calls that are specifically encouraging cooperation with Latin American and Caribbean partners. It's about
these specific topics.
Yes. Okay. So it's very small, but you know, for instance,
reduction of transport impact on air quality.
Yeah, or there's cancer research specifically in Latin American countries.
The second.
Yes, I can't remember exactly, but all of these have a focus on Latin American participation. It's about 2 pages or 3 pages even. So each line is a specific call. If you click on it, you will see the whole description. So take a look at that. It's something good for you to remember to start with your search. I'm going to try and make this as simple as possible, but it's, you know, I won't lie to you, it's not the easiest system to apply. Basically, the first point of contact would be the website of Horizon 2020, of course. So, for instance, you look at the previous slide I've shown you, you identify a call that might be suitable to your area of expertise. So you enter the Horizon 2020 portal, you look at the full description, look at all the related documents. There's also a huge online manual that's like 65 pages. So it has, you know, I'm not gonna tell you all about it now, but it's like the Bible of Horizon 2020. So it's all on this Horizon 2020 website. And next to each call, you will have a section to find project partners. So it's like a matching tool next to the call. So you can start looking at that as well. And the next step is to create an individual account. So it's just a fairly simple registration process. You can, if you're not an individual, but a university, for instance, you will have to register your organization and you will get what is called a PIC number, which is an identification number. And then, of course, the last step is to submit your project proposal to the European Commission. In terms of finding European partners, there are many ways of doing this. I'm putting 3 main tools for you to start your search. So as I was mentioning, first of all, the Horizon 2020 partner finding tool, which is you will find it on the portal. And then you have this other service called Cordis, which involves participants who've already successfully achieved funding through Horizon 2020. So you will find partner institutions on there as well. And the third option, which, well, you can, by the way, feel free to use everything, but you also have, of course, the Euraxis website, the partner finding tool I was mentioning early on. One thing that some of you might not know, within Horizon 2020, sometimes we have calls which require specific levels of expertise, and we need independent experts to assist with the evaluation of the proposals, monitoring the projects. Basically, we need sometimes specific Latin American experts with high level of knowledge on relevant fields. So you can, if you click on this blue link here on the independent experts, it will take you, I mean, I've put an image of it here. This is what it looks like on the portal. But you can become an expert, and there's financial compensation for this. Sometimes they will invite you to Brussels to specifically evaluate a specific call. And that's actually a good way of creating new international work networks as well. Now, so I've told you about this big umbrella program, Horizon 2020, and now I'm going into more detail into the sub-program called Marie Sklodowska Curie Actions, which is the European Union main research fellowship program. And I will tell you about the main grants offered now. So first of all, it's basically the EU's largest program for training researchers to develop their mobility and their careers. And one of the rules that's compulsory for this program is mobility in various different levels. So we have transnational. You will need to move around European countries or the associated countries. There's also an element that is intersectoral. So we encourage, for instance, industry to academia mobility and vice versa. And there's a budget of more than 6 billion euros for various good Oscar career actions. Up to 2020, we have around 15,000 non-European researchers involved. So please, once again, you know, feel free to apply for this program because it's also open to Mexican researchers. Here's a quick summary of the main sub-programs within Marie Curie Actions. So at the moment, we have two open, which are the individual fellowships and co-funds. So I might be going into slightly more details into those two, but let me introduce you as well to the other ones. So we have the Innovative Training Networks, which encourages doctoral and initial training for industrial doctorates, joint doctorates, and training networks. Then we have individual fellowships, which, as the name says, is more targeting individual researchers as opposed to institutions. And this will encourage researchers to take a mobility period of 2 years in Europe. Then we have RISE, which is a shorter-term mobility program to encourage mobility and exchange between the staff of institutions. And finally, we have the co-fund programs, which basically funds the funders. It funds the universities who already have an idea of how to recruit doctors and fellowships. Here's a snapshot of participation from the Latin American and Caribbean region. So as you can see, Mexico is already actively involved. This was a snapshot in April, so hopefully this has increased by now. But yeah, we have basically, yeah, under the Horizon 2020 program, we have just under 100 participations. FP7 is the predecessor of Horizon 2020. Yes, okay. This is the Marie Curie Action participation around the world. So of course, the main participation so far was coming from Europe. This is the dark blue area. The dark blue it gets, the more intense the participation. Mexico is actually quite blue as well, as you can see. Hopefully this will increase. So it is open to the world. We have around 130 nationalities participating in 80 countries. Now, going to the detail of the individual fellowships of Marie Curie, what you need to remember at the moment is that the mobility can go from Latin America to Europe and from Europe to Latin America. European fellowships is the modality whereby a Mexican researcher partners up with an institution in Europe, they write a proposal, they apply for the funding at the European Commission. If they get approved, the Mexican researcher goes to Europe for two years and basically gets involved in this program. There might be access to industry aspects of the program. There might be mobility to another country in Europe. So basically that's the mobility from Latin America to Europe. Now there's another fellowship within the IF, which is called Global Fellowships. That's when a European postdoc, fully funded by the European Commission, gets invited to, for instance, UNAM or any other institution. And he or she can spend 1 to 2 years in Mexico. And the benefit for that to Mexican institutions is that you have a fully funded high-level postdoc coming to your university with all his knowledge, all his networks, who will basically train your researchers in Mexico. So, and it's a great way of accessing further networks. This is totally open to any Mexican institution. If you are looking for specific partners in Europe, once again, this is where you would start your search. There's a program called Net for Mobility Plus. I don't know if you've heard about it, but I will give you the links at the end of the presentation. They have a portal where they have what's called expressions of interest from European institutions who would like to partner up with Mexicans, for instance. Once again, you have the participant portal, and you have, of course, the Euraxis website as well, whereby you can search for specific partners in Europe. And one's own initiative, which is not to be discarded. If you go to any networking events, conferences, that's sometimes the best starting point. Here's a snapshot of the Euraxis website. If you're looking for partners for Marie Curie, individual fellowships, you go to jobs and funding, then you select at the bottom European Research Program, and you will have a box appearing on the right where you can tick the program you want. So tick in that case Marie Curie Actions, and you will have a whole list of institutions open to partnership with you. I've just put an example of what I found last week. So at the moment, for instance, you have opportunities in Germany, Belgium, Ireland, and Portugal, various different research fields, as you can see. And here's the financial dimension, which is, of course, very important as well. As you can see, the monthly rates granted to the research are quite generous. So you have a living allowance, you have an allowance for your family, you have a mobility allowance, you have all sorts of research, networking, and training costs involved. These are all monthly. They may vary a little bit depending on the country where you are, but this is a rough indication of what you would get under this grant. In terms of writing your proposal, these are some tips on what you should really focus on. So it's going to be a 10-page proposal, and you need to make sure you include all these aspects. So you have to highlight the EU dimension, how innovative your project is, how unique it is, how you're connecting all the parts and all the partners involved in the project, and many other things. There's also one thing which is called the Career Restart panel inside the individual fellowships. So if you're a researcher who's been on maternity leave, for instance, or you've just taken a break from your career, for as long as you want, actually. I don't think there's a restriction in terms of time. There's also a specific grant for people to reintegrate the research world. So you can apply to this as well as a Mexican researcher. Now, very quickly on the co-fund, as I was saying, it's a program that funds, that supports the funding organizations, like CONACYT, for instance. And these are programs that last 5 years. And there has to be a mobility element of at least 3 months included. Basically, these are consortia of various European partners getting together to create doctoral programs. And once again, Mexican institutions can get involved. In the case of Mexico, to a certain point, I will explain in more detail in the next slides. These calls, by the way, whether it's IF or CoFund or any of the calls I've mentioned, are all annual. So if you've missed the deadline this year, you know, start preparing anyway, because there will be a call next year. And once again, actually, one thing I should mention as well is that CoFund doctoral positions, once they have been created, they will automatically be posted on the Euraxis job portal. So if you're an individual researcher and you want to apply for a PhD in, for instance, I've put Denmark here. This is, it should be on the website now. This is an example of CoFund where the University of Copenhagen in Denmark got the funding from the European Commission. They created 28 PhD positions. And they've posted this on the Euraxis portal. So you will find, you know, it's in biodiversity. I can't read it all, but anyway, it will give you the snapshot of all the information, the deadline, the links, the contact points, you can apply to this type of program as a Mexican researcher. Sorry, I'm moving on a bit too fast here. What I was going to say about CoFund as well is that as a Mexican organization, unfortunately, you can't get direct funding as a beneficiary. I mean, you have two levels of actors involved in these consortia. You have what we call beneficiaries, which are the entities who can claim the funding from the European Union. And then you have the partners, which work together with the beneficiaries to be involved in the consortia. But the partners don't get direct funding. They can reclaim and get the reimbursement from the beneficiaries. And Mexico can be a partner. In that case, you don't sign the grant agreement with the European Union, but you would need to include what is called the letter of commitment, which is basically a statement saying that if you want to be a partner, you commit to the actions of the proposal. Now, very quickly on ITN. ITN is similar to CoFund, but it's got a very strong focus on the non-academic sector. So you can have NGOs involved, you can have businesses, and the idea is to move around between these different areas. So it's also a consortia that creates doctoral positions. And once again, you can apply to these positions on Euraxis job portal if you're an individual researcher. So what happens in the case of Mexican institutions for ITN? Again, you can not be a main beneficiary, but you can still be a partner organization. And in that case, you have to write a letter of commitment, same as CoFund. And in this case, what will happen is you can host researchers during secondment. So if a European researcher comes to Mexico, you can host them, you can train them. And if there are costs, you can reclaim this cost from European main coordinator of the project, the main beneficiary. So this is a summary of what I was saying. You can join as a partner, but you cannot recruit any researchers. So it's a little bit limited, unfortunately, but you can still participate in, to some extent. RISE, I will very quickly talk about it. Once again, it's an exchange program for short-term mobility of research and administrative staff. And once again, the calls are annual, and you can join the consortia as a partner organization. It focuses on creating workshops, conferences, and basically facilitating knowledge and networking between your institution and Europe. So summarizing these actions, I'm going to split it in two parts for researchers and for research institutions. So for individual Mexican researchers, you're eligible to apply to Marie Curie Actions via the ITN and the CoFund created positions. These are visible on Euraxis jobs portal. And you can also apply to the individual fellowships, once again, on the Euraxis portal. If, going into the detail of what we mean by researchers, we have divided them into domains. So we have the early stage researchers. These are individuals who have no PhD yet or who have under 4 years experience, who can apply to the positions created by ITN, RISE, or CoFund. So these researchers will be able to do a PhD created by these programs. Then we have the second level, which are experienced researchers, which are individuals who have already a PhD and more than 4 years experience. And these researchers can apply to positions created by IF, RISE, and CoFund. Now, moving on to the institutions in Mexico, what can these apply or take part in? As I was saying, the ITN training networks or the RISE staff exchange programs. For co-fund, it's a little bit different because you can't be a beneficiary. You would need to provide your own funding if you wanted to do that. But you can still be a partner organization. And of course, as an institution, you can still take part in IF by hosting a European researcher for free. Here are the deadlines. I've put the ones that are currently open in red. The other calls are closed, but the new opening dates will be roughly the same. So for ITN and RISE, you can already start thinking about the opening in the next couple of months. Now, very quickly, I'm going to tell you about another program of Horizon 2020, which is called the European Research Council. This is, good news is that the rules are a lot easier. Basically, there's only one rule. You have to be a pioneer in your area. You have to be one of the best. This program has rewarded, at the moment, actually the last field medals, rewarded one of the ERC grantee. And we have, for instance, also in Brazil, we have Arthur Avila, who's also an ERC grantee, who won the Fields Medal 4 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So it's really the only criteria of selection for this program is excellence in your area. And any Mexican individual researchers are totally free to participate. Now, I'm going to show you a very quick video that will explain this in more detail. So.
This is Ava, a brilliant researcher with an interesting project. Ava wants to research the feasibility of teleporting molecules. To carry out her project, Ava is looking for support and funding. Someone told her about the ERC. The ERC is the European Research Council. Its funding schemes, open to individual researchers from all over the world, offer long-term grants to high-risk, high-gain pioneering projects in any field of frontier research: life sciences, physical sciences and engineering, and social sciences and humanities. ERC calls are published on the participant portal and the ERC website. Since its first call in 2007, the ERC has funded thousands of researchers. Pan-European competitions are open to excellent and independent researchers from all over the world, regardless of nationality, age, and gender. The only criterion for selection is the scientific excellence of the researcher and of the project. No thematic priorities, no consortia, no co-financing are needed. The host institutions where researchers will be based must be established in one of the EU member states or associated countries. Team members may be based outside the EU or an associated country. If you come from countries outside Europe, you don't have to be based full-time in Europe. You may request funding to cover eligible startup costs. The ERC main funding schemes. The ERC starting grant is a grant of up to 2 million euros. To apply, you must have completed your PhD 2 to 7 years before the call's publication date. At least one important publication without the participation of your PhD supervisor in a relevant scientific journal. The ERC Consolidator Grant is a grant of up to 2.75 million euros. To apply, you must have a PhD awarded 7 to 12 years before the call's publication date. You also need to provide a CV and a track record clearly showing your independence and research maturity. You must have produced several important publications without the participation of your PhD supervisor in relevant scientific journals. The ERC Advanced Grant is a grant of up to 3.5 million euros. To apply, you must have a track record of significant research achievements in the last 10 years. Each grant has a maximum duration of 5 years and can cover up to 100% of the total eligible direct costs. Please read the ERC Annual Work Programme and the information for applicants. You should consult the ERC website and check the projects funded in previous ERC grant calls. It's essential to think out of the box. Excellence, creativity, ambition, and boldness are an advantage. you should have outstanding knowledge of the scientific landscape in your field, a rigorous scientific approach, management skills, and an exceptional track record. A personal commitment to devote a substantial amount of your working time to the ERC-funded project is an asset. What do you need to apply? Apply only when you believe you're ready and your proposal satisfies the ERC criterion of excellence. Otherwise, wait for the next call. Your CV should be informative and compelling, contain a list of any previous funding and any other ongoing applications. The short synopsis should contain a concise and comprehensive explanation of the idea, its groundbreaking features, objectives, and its scientific feasibility. Try to show balance between high risk and high gain aspects of the project. When possible, provide preliminary data and alternative strategies. The full proposal should show sound balance between the idea and methodology, including planning, theoretical aspects, and empirical components. Starting and consolidator applicants scoring grade A at the end of the evaluation's first step come for an interview to present their research to the evaluation panel in Brussels. Here are some tips for the interview. Do practice the interview presentation with your peers or colleagues. Be reviewer-friendly. Provide preliminary scientific data. Be assertive. Do not oversimplify the challenge of the research proposal. Do not overstress the potential scientific impact. Do not be afraid of the panel's questions. They have a genuine interest. Do not forget that panel members are eminent experts, but not necessarily in your field of research. There are 25 evaluation panels covering all the research domains, which makes a total of 3,988 eminent international experts. Relax, we're joking. There are only 10 to 15 experts per panel. At Step 2 evaluation, applicants are given an A or B. Applicants scoring a B grade are not selected for this call and receive an evaluation report, including individual and panel comments. They'll not be funded. Applicants scoring A fully meet the ERC criterion of excellence and are recommended for funding if sufficient funds are available on the basis of the project's ranking. Well done, Ava, and good luck for your next 5 years of excellent scientific research. Now it's your turn to make science progress.
Okay, so I'm coming almost to the end of the presentation. So as has been explained, it's a lot easier process to apply for the ERC grants. Here's just a quick summary of the grants which were explained. So it's by level of experience, and the projects are usually between 5 and 6 years. Now, one thing that you need to know, excuse me, as a Mexican researcher, is that you can also join a team of ERC-funded projects. So basically, if, for instance, a European principal investigator receives the funding from the EU, they will sometimes open the project to team members around the world. These positions will be once again on the Euraxis portal, and you can search for them by filtering by ERC program. So if you would like to join a team in Europe, an ERC granted team, you can do that as well. And so another thing is we have a lot of tips, and we've interviewed, for instance, a Brazilian grantee. He's available as well for questions. So, you know, please read our interviews on this link, and we'll give you further tips. Now, very briefly, a summary of the timetable of the grants. And last but not least, all the links of useful information. So this is, I will make this presentation available to all of you, but basically here's how it works. You've got the links here. This is what we call the Bible of Horizon 2020, which is a very long document explaining all the rules. Here's some information in Spanish, if you prefer to read in Spanish. More links, brochures, flyers, we have a blog, we have success stories, loads of different things for you to read and get familiar with. So coming to the end of my presentation now, thank you very, very much for listening. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me. Here's my contact address. And so, yes, don't feel afraid to ask questions. I might not be able to answer your specific question, but Euraxis aims to be a bridge between Latin American researchers and Europe, so I can at least find the relevant person who can help you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ingrid, for your nice presentation, very detailed and comprehensive information. If someone in EL or perhaps Simvestab would like to ask something, pueden, okay. Pueden hacer cualquier pregunta directamente o en el chat. Respecto a los programas, Horizonte 20, sin problema le traducimos a Ingrid.
Completely confused or clear as mud. By the way, don't, you know, I know it's a lot of information. It's a bit overwhelming. So you might need a bit of time to digest all this, maybe to reread the presentation. So, you know, feel free. If the question doesn't come now, by all means, ask me later.
There's Giselle, no sé. Tu micrófono está apagado, creo.
Hay que abrirlo, ¿no?
Ahí está. Ok.
¿Ahí me escuchan?
Sí.
¿Sí me escuchan?
Sí, sí.
No, de hecho estaba yo pensando algunas cuestiones para la Agencia Espacial Mexicana, pero bueno, o sea, como realmente la agencia no es un órgano de investigación, pero bueno, vinculamos a algunos investigadores a algunas cosas. Estaba pensando más bien la forma cómo podríamos hacer alguna vinculación con este proyecto que está muy, muy interesante realmente el apoyo. Y sobre todo que tal vez se vayan a abrir algunos centros de desarrollo espacial en México y ahí es donde entran algunos investigadores, entonces podríamos ver alguna alternativa por ahí.
So you mean how to spread this network individually, maybe by going to the individual centers of the Agencia Espacial Mexicana? For sure. If you would like me to do a similar webinar or maybe come on my next visit to Mexico to visit.
Sorry, can you repeat? Because it's...
If you would like me to do a similar webinar or even come physically and present to your centers in Mexico, we can definitely put this on the list for my next visit, or even before if it's a webinar.
Yes, some of the centers is going to be developed in different states of Mexico. One in Zacatecas, another maybe in the Estado de México, another probably, it depends of several things, in Hidalgo State and San Luis Potosí. And depending how many people is interested in participate from different universities in different regions. I am thinking about vinculate that people from universities or institutes in Europe to make some, I don't know, postdoctoral stays or something like that, and to get some funds to make the project and so on. But in fact, we are starting with the centers for research in the in space.
Okay. Well, if you start, it's a good moment to start looking at the
yes.
potential partnership offers.
Yes,
so
in fact.
For sure, you're more than welcome to well, if you'd like to invite me, I'd be very pleased to come round.
Yes, of course, yes.
So I don't know when my next visit will be, but it might be in the next few months. I need to confirm this, but one thing for sure I can do, if I don't come so soon, is to at least do something like we've just done, like a webinar, and you know, open for questions.
Okay.
Maybe that would be even easier if you have different centers, so that we can reach all of them. Sometimes it's easier, but I don't know, maybe you prefer me to be there physically, I don't know. So we can talk about both options.
Yes, the fact is that all of these centers are in a very, very, very early stage. The first center that it is building now is in Zacatecas, but it's in construction.
Okay.
Right? Okay. And the researchers are waiting for the... everything is running up, but as soon as they are ready, I think I can contact you.
Okay, great.
Yes?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We have a couple of questions in the chat. Of course, we're going to share the presentation. Del Instituto Salvador Subirán, por supuesto, vamos a compartir la presentación. Y if there is any starting date for this program and for the registration. I think that, se ha hablado de diferentes subprogramas en el contexto de Horizonte 20. Euraccess es la herramienta a través de la cual se puede tener la información de los subprogramas. La recomendación sería usar esta herramienta, verificar cuál es el programa de interés y en esa medida acercarse ya sea al contacto que apareciese en el web de Euraccess o bien con INDIR, o quizás con nosotros en CONACYT a la Subdirección de Cooperación con Unión Europea para canalizarlos adicionalmente a ese subprograma que sea de interés, si es el European Research Council o para Acciones Marie Curie.
So, yes, maybe I didn't say that very clearly, but so Euraccess doesn't have its own funding, but we help people to link to the European funding programs. And these, as Mara was saying, so you have a lot of different deadlines for all these different sub-programs, but they basically you'll always find something open. And if you've missed it this year, there will be another call because they're every single year. And I see a Facebook, we have a Facebook page, which is called Euraccess LAC. So please like it. And if you want, you know, you can send messages on Facebook. I might not answer straight away because I'm still traveling for a while, but I will eventually answer you in a week or two. And you can please, you know, if you prefer Facebook, please feel free to send me queries. I can send you a message back with a presentation or, you know, we can communicate like that.
Okay. And yes, we will share the presentation. We will find either if this, I don't know, Arturo, if, va a estar colgada en el sitio o en Facebook o José. Lo haremos saber naturalmente. Ok, quisiera, no sé si hay alguna otra pregunta. Ok, perfecto. Muchas gracias, Ingrid. Quisiera no perder la oportunidad de agradecer a CUDI, la Corporación Universitaria para el Desarrollo de Internet, que nos ha apoyado con esta... con el desarrollo de la sesión y en la parte precisamente de Internet y de telecomunicaciones, han sido pues clave para esto. Por supuesto, al maestro Arturo Mendoza, que se encargó de organizar todo esto. Muchísimas gracias a todos los que han estado aquí presentes, a los que nos siguieron de manera virtual. Giselle, muchas gracias. Los colaboradores en el Instituto Nacional de Electricidad y Energías Limpias, al Instituto Subirán. Muchas gracias. Igual a nuevamente todos nuestros ECPs y a las instituciones que nos pudieron seguir. Muchísimas gracias. ¿Quieres cambiar?
Thank you very much. Yes, sorry, I forgot to ask, Kudi. Thank you so much for putting up with all the technical issues facilities. And for helping spreading this presentation, and to all of you for your patience and attention during this hour. Thank you very much.
Gracias.